burden, brother and sister, and their sisters. June 13, 1901. Typed. Dear brother and sister Burden and their sisters, we have been in Oakland for 1 week. We came down last Thursday to attend the Oakland camp meeting. I think of you on the sanitarium farm and sometimes wish I were with you. But then we are here, and I try to check every thought and word of discontent. I would love to see my brethren and sisters in Australia, but this wish may never be fulfilled. The Lord's will be done. When I see the large tent on this campground, scarcely able to hold our own Sabbath-keeping people who are attending the meeting, I think of the large increase in numbers that the years have brought, and my heart yearns after the people with deep yearning, that they might individually understand the meaning of the words, "This is life eternal," that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. John 17, verse 3. I am much in need of strength to do my duty before God with an eye single to His glory. Much earnest labor is needed to keep our own souls in the love of God. In many hearts, there seems to be scarcely a breath of spiritual life. This makes me sad. I fear that aggressive warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil has not been maintained. If we are going to exert a Christ-like example, we cannot cheer on by a half-dead Christianity the selfish, covetous spirit of the world, sharing its ungodliness and smiling upon its falsehood. Nay, by the grace of God, we are to be steadfast to the principles of the truth, holding firm unto the end the beginning of our confidence. We are to be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12, verse 11. One is our Master, even Christ. To Him we must look. From Him we must receive our wisdom. By His grace we are to preserve our integrity, accepting the Word of God as our standard, and standing before the Lord in meekness and contrition. I long so much to see the deep moving of the Spirit of God. Will it ever come into our ranks as it has come in the past? Thus saith the High and Holy One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 57, verse 15. The word of the Lord never represses man's activity. It gives an increase of usefulness by guiding activity in the right direction. The Lord does not leave man without an object of pursuit. He places before him eternity, with all its solemn realities, and gives him a grasp of immortal, imperishable themes. He presents valuable, ennobling truth, that he may advance in a safe and sure path in pursuit of an object worthy of the earnest engagement of all his capabilities. Man will increase in power as he follows on to know the Lord. As he endeavors to reach the highest standard, the Bible is as a light to guide his footsteps heavenward. In that word, he finds that he may be a child of God, a member of the royal family, joint heir with Christ to an immortal inheritance. The guidebook points him to the heavenly country and the unsearchable riches and treasures of heaven. By following on to know the Lord, he is securing eternal happiness. Day by day, the peace of God is his reward, and by faith he sees a home of everlasting sunshine, free from all sorrow and disappointment. God directs his footsteps and keeps him from falling, sanctifying and elevating his energies.